This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are very pleased to have Barbara Holt as our special guest. Barbara is president of North Carolina Right to Life, which was founded in 1973 and is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in North Carolina, serving all 100 counties. As we begin 2015, Barbara is with us to discuss what to expect on the pro-life front in the upcoming session of the North Carolina General Assembly, which begins in mid-January, as well as what is happening in North Carolina during Sanctity of Human Life Month, which takes place in January. And before we begin, let me just say that Barbara is a great friend and a colleague and someone that I respect and admire tremendously. We have been working together for years in the General Assembly, and I just consider Barbara to be a special friend. So with that, Barbara, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you, John. And after that introduction, I feel so very humbled, and I feel that you are a great friend, too. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Barbara. As we begin, let's spend a few minutes talking about the pro-life movement in North Carolina from kind of a big picture perspective. We have seen some significant victories in terms of pro-life legislation that has passed the General Assembly over the past few years, and we are finally beginning to see the fruit of many of those efforts. Of course, there is much more to do, but Barbara, how would you describe the pro-life movement right now in North Carolina, and what are some of the victories that we can celebrate as we look back over the past few years?
Well, I can just say that the movement is stronger than ever, and I think that's as evidenced by the recent elections where we saw a majority of our pro-life members reelected and elected to the Congress and also to the state legislature. And the many bills that have been passed over the last several years is proof positive that we're moving in the right direction, that unborn babies are being protected by law, and we are having tremendous success. In 2013, there was a huge bill that was passed into law, and I think because of the focus so much on the abortion rules that there were other important provisions that maybe were overshadowed by that discussion. So I hope that you'll grant me a little time to just refresh your listeners' memory about what was accomplished with that huge omnibus bill in 2013. We had the opt-out for abortion in the federal exchange for Obamacare, and that means that the policies offered through Obamacare in our state will not include abortion coverage, and that is huge. The other provisions were the city and county employee health plans can no longer include abortion coverage. And we know that when we don't pay for abortion, we get fewer abortions. There's a decline. There was a ban on sex selection abortions, which we considered a real war on women, and they are now prohibited in our state. And webcam abortions, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion of these, because it wasn't listed as a webcam prohibition in the legislation, but it basically said that a doctor had to be physically present when the abortion-inducing chemicals are administered to the mother who's considering this abortion. This prevents what Planned Parenthood had developed in another state that would provide for these chemicals to be given with a doctor at a distance and given via the internet by sitting in front of TV monitors and the doctor talking to this woman he's never seen before and popping the drawer to let her take out the chemicals. So now in North Carolina, we have ensured that these abortion-inducing chemicals must be given with a doctor physically present, and that is a huge victory. So we're really happy with all of these provisions in that large omnibus bill.
Well, great. Well, Barbara, thank you for sharing that, because I think that, as you mentioned, there has been a lot of attention and focus given to a requirement in that same bill that directed the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services to revisit and rewrite the rules and regulations for abortion clinics in North Carolina. And we do want to talk about that. But I think it is important for our listeners to kind of refresh their memories about all of the other important provisions that were included in that legislation that was passed in 2013, which we're extremely grateful for. Now, you did mention that provision in the legislation that required the department to revisit and rewrite rules for abortion clinics. And those proposed rules have been published in the North Carolina Registers, so they have been made public. And the department is currently soliciting public feedback on the proposal. We are thankful that the state is revising the rules, which would really be the first significant rule changes related to abortion clinics in 20 years. But there are a number of significant weaknesses in the proposal. Barbara, what is North Carolina Right to Life's view of the proposed rules, and are there areas that you would like to see strengthened or changed?
Well, the one that stood out to me first, and I considered very important, was the one that reduced the time that medical records must be maintained. It changed it from 20 years to 10 years. And more importantly, what it did for minors is it said that the records only needed to be kept for 3 years after the minor turned 18. So that's only 3 years past their 18th birthday, and I just think that that's too little time. They also don't require the doctor or nurse to accompany a non-ambulatory patient who needs emergency transfer to a hospital, and they have eliminated the required one-hour post-operative observation period prior to the patient discharges. And then there are some relaxed requirements for lab testing of the placenta and the child's remains. So these are some things, but I want to also state at this point that we feel the rules are important for the physical safety of mothers. We don't want another Gosnell in North Carolina, but we don't want folks to lose sight of the fact that rules will never protect her from the psychological damage of the abortion, and that these facilities exist. Their sole existence is to kill unborn children. We know that poorly run facilities might be forced to close, but they will be replaced by mega clinics that are run by Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is the single largest provider of abortions in our country. They do over 330,000 abortions every year. And we've seen this happen already in Asheville. FemCare, which had been closed by the state, is now going to be replaced by a big mega Planned Parenthood. So we have to continue to fight to end abortion, because we want to protect these unborn babies from their lives being snuffed out, and we want to protect their mothers from the regret that she's going to have from having aborted her baby.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And Barbara, despite the victories we've had over the past few years, there's a lot more work to be done to defend the sanctity of human life in our state. What is on North Carolina Right to Life's legislative agenda as we enter the 2015 legislative session?
Well, one of the things that we want to see passed, John, is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that 10 states have already passed. That would protect pain-capable unborn babies at 20 weeks and beyond from abortion. And we know that it is important to establish for the courts that there are legitimate reasons why the state can protect the life of the unborn child. The courts have already said that the child being able to live outside the womb is one consideration, but we want to see that pain is considered another reason why states can protect unborn children from abortion. So that is very important to us. We've also been working for a number of years to pass legislation to protect the vulnerable from the growing culture that sees individuals better off, those that are maybe infirmed in some way, have some kind of a handicap, maybe have an illness that from which they are not likely to recover. But we see our culture wanting to kill these people rather than to help them with their particular situation. And there's an industry out there that oftentimes works undetected to accomplish its goals of getting rid of these individuals in the, under the guise of compassion and care And so we've been working for years. We still haven't been able to pass any legislation that's protective of these individuals, but that is obviously on our radar. And we want to do any and everything we can do to make sure that our state government is not involved in any way with abortion, whether through counseling or in the state hospitals performing abortions. So we're going to be watching, and anywhere that we see it, we're going to ferret it out.
Well, Barbara, January is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and there are a lot of pro-life events that are happening in North Carolina and nationally as we celebrate Sanctity of Human Life Month. Let's start with North Carolina Right to Life's Prayer Breakfast, March, and Rally, which are coming up here pretty soon. Tell us about those events and ways that pro-life citizens can get involved.
Well, on January 17th, we will have our 16th annual Prayer Breakfast for Life at the North Raleigh Hilton. The breakfast buffet at 9:30 and the program at 10. Senator Tom Tillis, he will be senator by that time, is going to speak at the beginning of the breakfast, and then and we look forward to hearing from him. And then Wesley J. Smith is our featured speaker. Wesley J. Smith is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and he's written numerous books and writes for National Review on end-of-life issues, on assisted suicide, euthanasia, et cetera. And so it's a timely topic that he's going to be addressing. Registration for that event is required, and people can visit our website to ncrtl.org if they want to register online, or they can call our office at 336-274-5433. At 1 p.m. following the breakfast, there will be a rally, which will be followed by a March for Life, and the rally itself will take place on Halifax Mall, which is behind the legislative building. At 1 p.m., there's free parking across Salisbury from the legislative office building. So we encourage everybody to please come out. It's so important to let your elected officials and the people in North Carolina see the pro-life presence that we have here. And so we encourage everyone to come out.
And Barbara, there are also a number of national events this month for pro-life citizens, including this year's March for Life in Washington, D.C., which marks the 42nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Tell us about that event. And I believe that Right to Life and maybe some other organizations have buses that will be leaving North Carolina to go to Washington, D.C. for this event.
Well, this event draws hundreds of thousands of people. It's just an amazing sight to behold all the people that are walking from the mall up to the Supreme Court and the Congress. There will be buses going up to the March for Life in D.C. on January 22nd. Many are full, but the ones that we know of that have vacancies are listed on our website under the March for Life. And just as our North Carolina March for Life draws many youth, so does the D.C. Even more so does the D.C. March for Life. So we know that we have people of all ages, but we know the youth are there with us, and they will be the next generation to continue to battle for life.
Well, that is really exciting, and they are the future of the pro-life movement in North Carolina and in our country. So we just want to encourage everyone to participate in these events, both in North Carolina and in Washington, D.C. Now, Barbara, unfortunately, we're just about out of time for this week. If you would, again, please tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about North Carolina Right to Life, to get more information about these events, both your website and the phone number that you provided earlier.
Okay, our website is ncrtl.org, and our phone number is 336-274-LIFE, that's 5433, and they can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and YouTube. So there are lots of places. We encourage them to join our social media and stay connected.
Great. Well, I'm sure that many of our listeners will do that. Well, Barbara Holt, thanks so much for taking time out of what we know is a very, very busy schedule with all these events coming up to be with us today on Family Policy Matters. Thank you for your work to defend the unborn and to promote the sanctity of human life in North Carolina.
Likewise, John, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about these important issues and to let people know about how they can become involved.
Thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.